Welcome to today's episode of Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Dix. If you're operating a small or medium-sized web service, optimizing which container or VM runs on which machine probably isn't worth your time. You have better things to work on than trying to save a few pennies here and there on your cloud hosting bills. And even as you start to scale, there are enough container orchestration services and infrastructure as code frameworks that you're better off just picking some existing tooling and learning how to use it. But at that next level, when you're dealing with thousands of requests per second, millions of users, petabytes of data, when you're working at a Netflix or a Spotify, etc., you may still be provisioning your VMs and containers on public cloud services, you know, AWS, GCP, Azure, etc. But at that scale, your cloud bills have become a significant variable cost for your company. In a scaled-up environment, every fraction of a percent of efficiency that you can squeeze out of your underlying compute resources really does matter. So at that point, it is worth your time to back away from the done-for-you, managed-for-you orchestration services, back away from the managed servers, managed compute, multi-tenant stuff, and to start using the dedicated underlying primitives instead. Still public cloud, but the stuff that's bare metal or as close to bare metal as your chosen cloud offers. And then you need to very thoughtfully and carefully place your VMs and containers on that infrastructure in a way that reduces cost while maintaining uptime. Specifically, you need to optimize for four dimensions. One, minimizing power consumption. Two, minimizing resource waste by maximizing RAM and CPU utilization. Three, minimizing server failures, and four, meeting or exceeding any internal or external SLA or availability requirements. Now, how do you do that? How do you take what is in essence the bin packing problem, which is already NP hard, and then add layers of complexity and figure out how to optimize for four different goals at the same time? Well, you're in luck. A few researchers, Alamad et al., believe that they have a solution and they published it in this paper, Multiple Objectives Dynamic VM Placement for Application Service Availability in Cloud Networks, in the Journal of Cloud Computing, part of the Springer family of journals. Let's dive into their proposed solution and see how it works. They call their solution MOVPAC, or MOVPAC, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. It stands for Multi-Objectives Dynamic VM Placement for Application Availability in Cloud. It's a framework, a set of tools that you can use to decide in real time which VM or container needs to go where. Namely, it's five big things. First, it's a non-linear programming model with a set of constraints. That means it's a technique for solving a problem where the relationships between the variables are not straight lines, aka non-linear, and a set of constraints, which means certain variables have rules about what they can and can't exceed, what values they can hold, etc. Two, it's the ant colony heuristic algorithm. They call their version AVAAD, the A-V-A-A-D, the Availability Aware Applications Deployment Algorithm, which is just ant colony plus some extra logic. To picture what it is, it's easiest to picture a bunch of ants in your kitchen. Imagine the kitchen's clean, there's no food to be found, you're going to see those ants all over the place kind of randomly, right? They don't know where they're going, they're just trying stuff to see what works. Now imagine you walked in and it turns out that while you were gone, the ants found the donut that you had left on the table. Now you're going to see the vast majority of ants taking a straight line to the donut and then back into whatever part of the wall they crawled out of, and you'll also still see a few ants searching around randomly for more donuts. That's what this algorithm does, but it's not looking for donuts, it's helping optimize for one of the goals we talked about earlier. 3. A VM standby protection technique. A certain percentage of servers or VMs will fail for reasons outside your control. With a VM standby protection technique, you spin up slightly more resources than you need in order to have them standing by and able to cover the things that fail when they fail. That way, you can always meet your availability requirements. 4. A neural net that helps predict failures, thereby allowing you to proactively protect your services and allocate VMs onto machines in a way that minimizes the likelihood of failures. 5. A dynamic application reconfiguration module, which is logic that handles scaling up and scaling down your clusters in a sensible way while maintaining the logic and goals of the rest of the system. You put that all together and you have MOVPAC. So, how do they test it, and how did MOVPAC do? Well, there was no off-the-shelf way to test the efficacy of their framework, so they had to build one. They wrote an application in C++ that simulated the data centers, the servers running in the data centers, the VMs running on the servers, and the applications running on the VMs. And then they ran simulations of different situations, but they didn't just do it for MoFPAC. To get baselines and control groups, they also ran the simulations with other algorithms, namely Chase, which is an application scheduler proposed by Jamal et al. In a previous study, and a convolutional neural network built for autoscaling created by Abdel Assam in a different study as well, and First Fit, which is a more standard VM placement algorithm. The results were mixed but promising. All in all, MoFPAC and its constituent components held its own or outperformed the other options in a couple areas. Application availability, application admissibility, meaning they were able to accommodate more applications onto the servers, CPU utilization, and RAM utilization. In addition, they were able to predict application task failure with 93% accuracy. They still have more work to do in terms of overall execution time, but their migration speeds during scaling were fairly quick. They also need to work on power consumption and a few other variables. But as I said, overall, it's promising. If you'd like to see the details of all the performance data and exactly how each algorithm stacked up against each other, download the paper. They have a number of graphs and charts that map it all out. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.